We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. And luckily for you, Oh Dirty Show and Chris have the latest for you as Tyler is on vacation. And the latest is, all right, Clint, the Astros are back at it tonight. They had a tough series in Boston last night. They just ran into a really, really good pitcher who was on fire. Complete game, Nick Pivetta. Just two hits. He gave up a home run to start the game to Altuve, and then only one more base runner the rest of the way. But they are back home at Minute Maid, and they've got the Rangers, and it's Framber Day. Framber Valdez is on the mound, and Clint, here is the lineup. Altuve, Bregman batting second, Alvarez batting third, Diaz batting cleanup, Tucker fifth, Pena at short six, McCormick in left field, Siri in center, Maldonado catching, and then obviously, as I said, Framber is pitching. Diaz is playing first base for Yuli tonight. So Yuli and Michael Brantley out of the lineup today to start the series against the
What are we doing? You just lost a series against the Red Sox, man. What are we doing?
I know I should not laugh about this, but
I mean, what are we doing here?
I just give you, Diaz in the cleanup.
I mean, are we still ramping up? Is that where we're at? Are we still ramping up with these guys?
I guess they're still just getting their legs. I don't know. Yeah, Yuli. I don't know what Yuli needs to himself.
I mean, he's hot. He finally got hot. He just said, I mean, this road trip, I mean, his numbers are through the roof. He finally got hot, and now it's, I need a break.
Yeah, I feel like Yuli, first base, pretty good shape. I know he's an older player. I feel like he could be off during off days.
Short jog from the dugout here.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Real short jog.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Brantley's got a long haul out there.
Yeah, he's something up with his legs anyway. He's been DH-ing her. I mean, hell, yeah, let him DH. Shoot. I mean, you've been playing Alvarez out there all the time. Maybe, I don't know. But, yeah, Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, and your cleanup hitter tonight, Elitmus Diaz, batting fourth with Tucker, Pena, and McCormick, Suri, and Maldonado for Framber Valdez.
Really into that righty-lefty thing, huh?
He's stay to it, man. Yeah, I probably would put Tucker in cleanup. I probably would have put Tucker behind Alvarez. I don't think it matters.
What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. You hate when he goes multiple.
I like Diaz. I really do. I'm glad he's on the Astros, but I just he doesn't need to be the cleanup hitter when you got those bats in the lineup, and he doesn't need to be a guy that's going to get more looks to plate than Kyle Tucker at this point in time.
He's damn near playing every day.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought he had a nagging injury.
And you rest two of your big bets. I mean, two of your big bets in game one of a home series.
That's the one that drives you. I feel like you have come to grips with, all right, maybe there'll be one guy out. I feel like you have started to come to grips with, okay, Bregman may be out. All right, Altuve may get a day off. It's when two of the six of that top six are out. That's what seems to drive.
Well, it just fires me. We're coming off like at some point, and again, I know it's a long season. I know baseball is different than football, but come on, guys, you just lost a series to the Red Sox. mean, they're the laughing stock of the American League at this point. I mean, what are we doing?
From the text line, 832, Dusty knows how to get guys rest. Pays off for a long season, Clint.
Oh, does it? Good. All right. Can't wait to see you explain that one late in the season. Pays off for a late season.
God, they better not lose.
5 o'clock fire.
They better not lose with Diaz at the plate in a major moment. The plate. Yeah. All right, so get ready for the Astros tonight. We were talking about the big transfer portal and what's happening in college football. And the University of Texas, they thought they were in on this cat.
Yep.
Thought they had him. The Biletnikoff winner. Best receiver in college football last year, Jordan Addison, finally makes his decision and transfer to USC. A lot of people thought he may be looking at Alabama. Texas became the favorite here recently, but it all started with flirtation, allegedly, between Addison and Lincoln Riley at USC, and he ends up going to USC. With Lincoln Riley.
Well, this is another one that could have pushed the buttons of Nick Saban, right? I mean, this is he lost his top two receivers from last year.
Yep.
Big question marks, I think. I mean, you talk to folks in the SEC, one of the big question marks is can Georgia's defense remain the Georgia of last year with all they lost in the draft, which a lot of people believe, surprisingly, a lot of people believe they will. And then can Alabama and Bryce Young do things offensively that we've seen him do in the past with having to replace John Mechie and Williams. So, you know, Nick really could have used Jordan Addison. And
yes, and he also had one of his other young receivers transfer.
Yeah.
Like he does. Yeah.
And Jordan Addison is the source of what I believe the NCAA has decided to investigate, whatever the hell that may be, in terms of the NIL money. I mean, Jordan Addison, reportedly USC had paid and bought for him before he ever went into the transfer portal, which would be illegal.
Yes.
And so it looks like Lincoln Riley's going to get his guy, but I can't wait to hear those numbers. I don't know if they're going to be public, but man,
I
was here in a house in LA in $6 to $8 million.
Now, is all that legal?
It's legal once they're there.
Once they're there, is that
you can't
legal?
You can't entice a recruit to come to your place with an NIL deal.
Okay, well, that's going to be a stupid rule.
I think, right? Lincoln Riley tried to entice him before he ever entered the transfer portal.
Tried to entice him while he was at Pittsburgh.
Lincoln's calling folks. Hey, you lost your quarterback?
That's a dumb rule. I mean, they're going to find a way all the time let them know how they get, like what's the deal is going to be. But once they get there, it is legal for a house and $6 to $8 million. That's within board. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like
Bryce Young making $1 million at Alabama his freshman year before he ever played. He was there as a player.
I think there are people who are not certain that didn't know that stuff's legal. That they could you can find a way to get a college player $6 to $8 million and a home.
Oh yeah,
it's above board.
It's, yeah. Now I don't know if that number's accurate with Jordan Addison. I'm just saying that's what the reports and the rumors were before USC and before he entered the transfer portal and they ended up causing this investigation stuff. There was huge numbers thrown around with him. But yeah, there's average players in college football making $500,000 a year.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
average.
The way that Saban was trying to do it at Alabama was to try to get same amount for most of his players. Like, to break it down, now Bryce went off in another space, but
yeah,
to break it down where a lot of players were getting the same amount of money. No, like Jordan Addison, I'm good, man.
Jordan said, no, I'm good. I'm going to go out here on the West Coast.
Texas, that would have been a big ad for Texas.
Well, Texas, the deal there, the appeal there was his receivers coach, who he was really close to at Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. went to Texas. And so they had a puncher's chance because of that relationship. Now, I'm sure that Texas threw a little bit of money at him as well, but we'll
ultimately he wanted
he's
to go
at
to
SC,
LA,
baby.
And nice son, and maybe he met Lincoln in that house they put together. Hey,
that's right.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, PGA Tour championship update. Clint, Rory McIlroy, he is in the lead, 5 under, as play is getting completed today. I know many people in his group was Jordan Spieth and Tiger. Jordan Spieth two over, and Tiger four over. And when you look at five as a lead, Clint, Tiger is going to have to make a nice little run to make the cut. Right, that'll be a big deal. And as we are out tomorrow, as the at Big City Wings out in Humble, excuse me, presented by Coors Light, the Bullets and Bucks tour continues. You'll probably be able to see Tiger right during our show if you're out there, because he's supposed to tee off in the 1 and 2 o'clock hour. So you can come out there and check that out. But he's going to have to really put together a nice run to just be able to make the cut. And Clint, I don't know if you caught him around them holes 15, 16.
Yeah, and I didn't see it.
I wanted to throw a cane at him.
My man was limping, huh?
Yeah, it's you can tell it wears down.
Yeah.
And that walking gets to him, and it was hot as hell out there, as it always is at Southern Hills.
As he starts to cut loose, I bet he pushes the limit a little bit much. I mean, you know, like in the Masters, you think first time back, probably shorten his swing, stay within your game, and like he even mentioned, I heard him talking yesterday, talking about the range of motion just isn't there. It's not what it used to be. Well, I bet his ass gets out there, feels pretty good, and starts pushing it.
We'll see.
And we'll see what happens on Friday.
I'm thinking, boy, it's day one, and he's at 15, 16 hole, and he's got a little hitch.
I thought my boy Daly was going to be able to get slide around out there.
What about those pants?
Yeah, he's definitely a loudmouth pants. I mean, that's what he rocks.
God, I feel like one of my good friends, not a golf guy, saw a picture of John and said, oh, I don't know who this is, not a golf person, but I love Santa Claus out there playing.
Right.
I said, oh, you don't know John. John ain't Santa Claus, and John smokes darts while he's on the course.
Here's
what kind of darts does he smoke? If you had a guess.
I think he's a Marlboro guy. I'm not a smoker, so I never paid much mind to what John's puffing
you
on.
Here
it is, the final tally of literally everything Daly put in his body over a full 18 holes. 21 cigarettes, 12 Diet Cokes, 6 packs of peanut M&Ms, 0 ounces of water.
God, man, peanut M&Ms. Diet Cokes. Oh, he went diet.
He's a Diet Coke guy.
Just drink a regular Coke, man. From the text line, Tiger should take a painkiller. Listen, I'm sure he's doing more than that. I'm sure he is doing a whole lot more than just banging in a painkiller. Trust me, I bet you he is doing all he can to roll through his pain tolerance. When you get through the type of car accident and your leg almost losing it,
right,
and then walking 18 holes, like, yeah, I don't know about the painkillers, how much that's going to matter. All right, one of the NFL lists that come out every year that many people take stock on, and if you are a Houston Texans fan, you definitely want to hear this list and hear where one of your guys is. We'll let you hear what that is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from Texadelphia in Memorial, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the Show.
All right, as we ride through here, on a crazy day, college football took over the world, and we've been knocking it out, especially with the local feel here. But Clint, also, you know, the NFL is always there, and Chris Sims, who is a Texas quarterback, a little time in the NFL, remember him with the Bucks, his dad Phil Sims, been in this media game and for a little bit, and his little top 40 quarterback countdown is something that a lot of people look at. A lot of people kind of wait to come out. He does it every year, and it's become bigger and bigger probably each and every year. And he has done his 31 through 40. He always does the breakdown, and he's done 31 through 40. I wonder how many Texans fans believe. Do you believe that your quarterback, Davis Mills, is in between that? Like, if you knew Chris Sims was going to do his list, right? You know he goes from 1 to 40, as he does every year, Clint. Where, what area of the list would you think, not knowing what it was, what area of the list, 713-572-4610, you could text into, do you think Davis Mills would be? You think he'd be on it, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I pegged this one damn near spot on, show. I thought it'd be between 32 and 34. Like I thought 32, because there's only 32 starters in the league.
Yeah.
There's a couple of backups that you can say, and we can all agree are better at this point in time and have shown more than Davis Mills. But I thought that number, I think it's fair. I mean, I thought that number somewhere in that range.
32, 34 is where you'd have thought.
Yeah.
All right. 40, Drew Locke, who's with Seattle. 39, rookie Kenny Pickett, who has not taken a snap yet, is in the top 40. 38, Teddy Bridgewater. I didn't even know he's with the Dolphins, but he's with Miami as a backup. Gardner Minshew, 37, with the Eagles. 36, Tyrod Taylor, who is a backup with the Giants. And number 35, Davis Mills. That's where he landed. You said 32 to 34. He is just outside of that. He's at 35, Davis Mills. 34, Tyler Huntley with the Ravens, who took over for Lamar there, and they lost all their games. But he actually played.
He played pretty well.
It wasn't completely him. It was a lot of the injuries they had. He's right in front of him at 34. He's a backup in the league. Geno Smith, between him and Drew Locke, one of them are backups. He's at 33. Sam Darnold, the ghost seer in Carolina, he's at 32. And then Trey Lance, who was the third overall pick last year with the Niners, he's at 31. And, hell, he may be a backup. We're not sure there. But 35, and I'm wondering around for most folks, is that where you thought from the text line? 281 had Mills at 40. I go with you. 35 feels fair. That feels fair. And maybe there's some arguments up above. Maybe a couple of them. Maybe you think he's a better throw of the ball than Huntley. Him and Trey Lance played head to head. Trey Lance's team won, but I remember Trey Lance completely jumping. I remember he had a big play to Deebo Samuel down the field, but he had Deebo Samuel on his team as well. But Davis Mills, 35, that's fair. Okay, if you were thinking 32, 34, Clint, as a guy who has coached quarterbacks, who's played the position and played it in the NFL, what would be a realistic spot in terms of where you should see growth from him this year? Where would be an area he should land after this year?
Oh, on this list? Yeah. Look, I think give him a month into the season, I expect him to climb into the top 32. The way he finished the game, the season last year was impressive. The reason I got him, I would have him in the early to mid 30s right now is because I can't forget how rough it was early, how rough it was in training camp. And so I think the 35 number's fair, but I think the way he ended the season last year, the way that this organization has committed to Davis Mills, I absolutely love it. Never thought it would happen, by the way. Never thought that the organization would commit, and not because Davis Mills is a third round pick, and he does, you know, but I never thought the organization in year two of a rebuild would commit to a quarterback the way they've committed to Davis Mills. I commend them for it. I think it's the right thing to do. I think it's the best thing for the organization to do and the quarterback. But the way that they have embraced him and basically built everything around him to be as good as the organization can in terms of surrounding the quarterback with support, I expect him to improve and be more consistent out of the gate. This isn't quarterback competition. You're only getting half the reps. You're starting the first preseason game.
You're the guy.
You are the guy. You're the starter. They've called you that. That's who you are. You're going to be treated as such. I expect this guy to build on what he did last year, the final month. And if he does that, now he may fall on his face. And if he falls on his face, he falls out of the top 40. We'd never hear about him again. But if he plays well, then I expect him to be in the top 32 by week four.
Top 32. Yeah, I mean, that would have to be your expectation. Like, if you believe, especially for many people who believe, like, hey, man, Davis Mills may be the answer.
Yeah.
Well, by the end of this year, it should be unequivocal, any kind of list, that he's inside the top 32.
No question.
Like, then
if he's not inside the top 32, we can go back to our questions the other day about do you draft Bryce Young or do you draft C.J. Stroud? Well, hell yeah, if he's not in the top 32. Yeah, if he's not at least considered a starter in this league.
It should be an argument for anybody.
Correct. Absolutely. Right now, if he doesn't pass up the guys that are ahead of him, because hell, two of them, maybe three of them aren't starters right now.
Now, he should clearly be past everyone but maybe Trey Lance. If Trey Lance plays, then you know, maybe they're in the same area if he plays. But Huntley backup, Geno Smith stop. Sam, come on.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm 100%
with you.
For him
to be your guy, for you to, as you just said, for you to pass up potentially on a C.J. Stroud or any of the other quarterbacks that could be in the first round that could be available to you, and he's got to clearly, there can't be a list where there's an argument. You know what, man? Sam Darnold or Geno Smith, boy, if they had such weapons, I could see them on par with Davis Mills. Now, he needs to completely separate them.
Absolutely. There is zero doubt about it. I mean, that's where Davis is at. I mean, that's what comes with the commitment that the organization has shown to Davis Mills is now, baby, hey, man, all bets are off. There's no margin of error is not the right word, but there's, look, the expectations are for you to take the opportunity. You ended the season well. Now you take this opportunity that the organization is affording you, and if you don't literally spread your wings and fly, if you don't soar, if you don't trend upward, then the Texans need to make other plans. Because Davis Mills can't ask for this organization to do any more for him other than provide more talent down the road. But in terms of putting him in a position to lead, to play the position efficiently, to hopefully have a good run game. I think Lovie's defense will be a little bit better. Like he's been what's going on around him right now is so much better than what was going on around him last year when he had a little bit of success at the end of the season that I would expect him to continue and be consistent and trend in the right direction, no question.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Chris Sims has other guys. Like someone texted him, well, where is Zach Wilson? Yeah, on this. He better be coming up soon.
Yeah, he hadn't been called out yet.
Yeah, he better. Yeah, he's not. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 31. Like people are saying, where is Tua and where is Zach Wilson on this list? They're probably going to be coming up soon. They're probably going to be coming up soon on this list because, like I said, there's an argument that he's up there with Trey Lance. There's even though they played head to head last year. There's an argument that could be up there. But someone said that's the bar now for him. I'm like, right now, yeah. He's got it.
He's played well in four games.
There's a couple. You can even say halves. Be honest with you.
The bar for Davis Mills right now
is to be inside 32. Right now, that's a fair.
Absolutely, bar. Get inside 32. Now I'm talking about get inside 32 by first month of the season, by midseason for damn sure, and be trending in the right direction. Continue to be consistent. Look, I mean, if your expectation for Davis Mills is to go out there and blow the NFL apart with Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins and John Metchie, come on, man, and this just running. I mean, let's keep things in perspective here. Get better, trend in the right direction, get primed and ready from a foundation standpoint for Nick Caserio to spend some money next year in free agency.
Yeah, what did Nick Saban do today? Did he screw up? Did he mess up things for college football? We'll discuss.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Live from Texadelphia in Memorial, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the show.
Oh boy, Clint, we haven't touched this today. This is a pivotal thing here, according to the great Mark Berman. Fox 26, Clint. Texans first round picks, Derek Stingley Jr. and Kenyon Green will throw out the ceremonial first pitches tonight at Minute Maid Park before the Astros play the Rangers tonight. Oh boy.
I just hope they do better than Steve Aoki and 50 Cent. Surely.
Yeah, how you feel about those two?
I feel great.
You feel pretty
good
about
them? One's a Baton Rouge boy and one of them's a Texas boy. I feel great. I think they grew up playing catch. And I think there's a really, really good big guy offensive lineman Kenyon Green. I mean, the one thing that could get bigger guys out, big offensive lineman, defensive lineman, typically offensive lineman. I don't remember in my time any defensive lineman doing it. It's all offensive line. One way to get them out to practice early, let them play catch for 5 minutes. Throw the balls out there, let them run around like a quarterback. I think Big Kenya, I think he can throw it around a little bit.
Yeah, I would normally be a little concerned because these guys may want to show out and show what they got, but I don't sense from either one of their personalities that they're going to get out here and try to break it. I sense from both of their personalities, there seem to be low-key guys that they're going to just try to get in here and get out.
No question. Soft-spoken dudes. If this was Damian Pierce, running back out of Florida.
If this was Sauce Gardner, who was your first?
Yeah, yeah.
Sauce would be chained up.
Yeah, he'd be out there trying to go viral, huh?
And I would tell whoever the catcher is, yeah, he'd had a grill in there that Paul Wall just hooked him up with.
Right, right.
Whoever that catcher is, just stand up and keep your head on a swivel. There's no reason to get down. Like, you don't know what he's – but these two guys seem like, hey, like you said, play catch. Let's just get it in and out. Wave your hand, and they're not even going to be
– I want big Kenyon Green. I want him to do the Luis Garcia shuffle. That'd be great.
No, he'll get hurt.
Nah, man, just doing a little cha-cha.
Like a roll of an ankle.
Nah, please, he'd be all right.
As he comes through multiple times. He'd
be, yeah, no, nah, like, that'll be cool. We'll see. Hopefully he don't pull no 50.
Because he was the one. Green is the one that I would have thought, but then I heard him speak. He's low-key, man. He's like, man, I'm in the back. I'm chill. I don't need the attention.
Right.
I don't need the attention, and Stingley's that way too.
Hey, I agree. They'll both get out there, get it done.
And get out. Wave and get out. And hell, they may leave.
Which is exactly what they need to do.
That's right.
Not leave. Don't leave. Go up to a suite somewhere and enjoy the environment, enjoy the festivities. And if Dusty doesn't load manage his way out of this damn game, it should be a nice dub for the Stros tonight versus the Rangers.
Right. Clint's ticked off two of the major hitters out of the lineup today. Diaz is batting fourth for some reason, and right left is going to stay with it. Tucker batting fifth. Here, Michael Brantley, he is out of the lineup tonight, and Yuli Gurriel, who is just starting to get hot. But you say, no days off.
Mr. Professional, the arguably the best, I mean, like literally best swing on the team, best bat on the team when it just comes to quality at bats, and last year's AL batting champ. Same game versus the Rangers after losing a series to the Red Sox.
I want to look it up to see if Yuli was ever getting any days off when he was struggling like hell, when he was fighting it like hell. And now he gets it as he's rolling here. But hey, man, you gotta trust Dusty, and Dusty and James Click we trust as they roll through. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley. Listen, we were at Texadelphia, and Clint, as you know, you bounced before I did, and then once you got here, I bounced. And I just want to admit and apologize. I stress ate the rest of your queso.
When'd you do that? Hell, you was on air
during the breaks. I had two of them with you left. It was over there. You left a hell of a whole lot. By the way, Clint, you got to be hungry right now because I don't know.
Starving.
I don't think you got a chance to get one of them cheese steaks there. But I stress ate the rest of it because it was a whole lot.
I left a lot in there. Only thing you didn't have was I took the jalapeno out on one of my dips.
Yeah. I did. Yep.
This is good queso, man.
It was some good queso. And I had planned on that. Was it for it. That was it for me. Somebody else out there bought me a shot as well as on the way out.
I stress ate stress drunk.
I thought I was good, and then bam, I found out I had about five chips. Then I had nine, and it went to about 12.
It's hard
chips.
To quit them. It's hard to quit them, man.
I just kept walking back, like, all right, man, we got to get this hand. Let me get in here. Let me dip it. So I stress ate the rest of you. So that queso there, that man came by and said, hey, you guys done with this? You want me to go ahead and take that? I said, yeah, you take them glasses. She leave that there. Still working.
I didn't pay for it. Did you
We're
pay for it?
Working on it. Yeah, yeah. We got it taken care of.
Oh, okay.
We got it taken care of.
I thought about that about halfway down here. I thought, man, I didn't pay for that queso.
You stiffed me with that shit.
Leave it with old show.
I just figured you'd done it on purpose, to be honest, but you just stiffed me with that check. By the way, Rick Dim, Twitter, says, you guys were talking about the return of the Mexican pizza at Taco Bell yesterday on my way home. Never had it, so I tried it for lunch today. Damn, that was good.
Come on, Doc. Come on, baby. What's his name again?
Can't believe what I've been missing out.
What's his name again?
Old Rick Dim.
Rick. RD. Hey, man. That Mexican pizza will change your life, baby.
Rick, have you hit the toilet yet?
Oh, look, there ain't nothing wrong with rooster telling. There ain't nothing wrong with a good dinner that'll rooster tell for you the next day.
Yeah, Rick, yeah.
Clean your system.
Yeah, he let that out. Yeah, he had to. Yeah, he had to. Yeah. My wife asked me yesterday. I've never had one. She says you never had one. Is there meat on it?
Yeah.
She said I just never had it because I don't like the beans. But she said.
Man, take one of them home to mama tonight.
No.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you?
I don't think she really wants
it. She wouldn't have asked you about it if she wasn't curious.
I don't think she really wants it.
Man.
I will say the box looks nice. I like the box.
The presentation is real.
The presentation is a beaut.
The presentation is nice. No question about it. Hell, you ought to taste one.
I think you need to go and quench that thirst tonight. A quick snack.
I was going to stop yesterday. And then when I was digging through Twitter, Taco Bell announced yesterday that today was the day.
Oh, and they were just, that's right. I read that they were just doing it on online orders or something where you could get.
Gotcha.
They were just doing online orders.
Yeah, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, so that threw me for a little bit of a loop there. But yeah, I may ease through one. We got one right around here. I may ease through one on the way home.
Get one on the way home. I feel like you've driven and eaten.
No question.
A Mexican pizza in your time.
After 2 a.m. several times. Okay, well, that's no question. Time.
That's a dangerous time.
Yes, it is.
Clint Sterner, Ron DeShow. Tyler's out. Chris is in today. Make sure you stay tuned behind us. Texans All Access rolling through, and as well as Best of Today on that. So make sure you stay tuned, listening right behind us. 6 o'clock, Texans All Access, and then 7 o'clock, the Best of. All right, Nick Saban had himself a day today, and it is jump-started Nick Saban. It's jump-started Jimbo Fisher, and there are other people that he has spoken about. Now, Deion Sanders, who is a head coach at Jackson State, he only responded in a tweet at this point. I cannot wait to hear what he has to say. This was Nick Saban. He was talking about A&M, and that's who he really ran through hard. But he also spoke about Jackson State, the HBCU, and the SWAC conference. This is what he had to say as well in discussing things about NIL.
There are rules, just like Nate said. We have a rule right now that says you cannot use name, image, and likeness to entice a player to come to your school. Hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it.
All right, that's Nick Saban as he was going through with his machete to everybody in the in the country. Here's my issue with this one here. I thought the Jimbo stuff with Texas A&M, I think, and I agree with you, I think it got a little dangerous there when you got coaches making accusations that, all right, one's been cheating, buying players, one's been doing stuff 20 years ago, look at his record. But to me, I felt like that's going to bring a lot of attention to that game, a lot of attention in starting a rivalry between A&M and Alabama where, like, this thing is getting serious when you got the two star coaches who are going at it. Like, this one here, man, listen, I think Nick Saban is a really, really smart person, a really, really smart guy. And I think when he came to the table, he had a game plan and a plan, and he wanted this to be out. Nick Saban is smart. He knows when he says certain things that this is going to get picked up. He knew when he said that about A&M that was going to create some. Maybe, as you said, Clint, he didn't know it's going to create this much of a thing, and that jump, he did maybe calculate what Jimbo Fisher's response was going to be, but he knew when he said that was going to bring something up. And that's why it's hard for me to, when you bring in Jackson State, and why? No matter what you're trying to get across, what point you're trying to get across, you're talking about teams doing things that aren't above board, and you bringing in Jackson State, a university that doesn't get kids like this, that got one kid, and bringing in the money as an aspect to make it seem like that was the reason why he got there. That's not entirely the case. Like, the money is not why that kid wanted to go there. Like, the NIL is not why that kid went there, because any other major team could have matched that, could have given him. There is no way that Jackson State has anything. And I know how good Deion is. There is nothing that Jackson State that could do to match any team, like a Texas, like an A&M, like an Alabama, like a Georgia, could match any of that. He went there. Obviously, he got paid within the system. He went there because that's where he wanted to go. And I just did not like that at all, that Nick drug them into this to paint them like they like they're in something doing wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. It was in the papers, Clint, because it's legal.
Yeah, look, I think if we're looking at it as just Jackson State and Nick Saban, I think it's petty as hell. I agree with you.
Right.
I think his overall point, and again, I think Nick did a very, very poor job communicating this, but I think his overall point in the entire statement, if you will, was his plan, let me put it to you that way, seemed to be he was pointing out that the NCAA, there is a rule that the NCAA is not enforcing. And here are a couple of two, three, however many he mentioned, here are two or three instances where it's been blatantly obvious, it's been in the paper, it's been talked about, people have bragged about it, people have made huge jumps in recruiting, and the NCAA is not investigating, is not enforcing that rule. That was his overall all-encompassing point that he was trying to make, and he very poorly communicated and specifically mentioned not just A&M, as you said, Jackson State.
University of Miami as well.
Poor decision, bad communication. When you talk about, to your point, bringing Jackson State into it, I mean, just petty as hell. I agree with you.
Is it fair to think that Nick should know that when he brings a school like Jackson State in or Miami and their basketball team in, that immediately it is going to swing to a space of, hey, see, those guys aren't doing it right. Like they're doing stuff to get players to get there. Like they're doing something that isn't right. Like when you bring them into it, because he's bringing up A&M. They bought all their players.
Yep.
They're doing something wrong. He brings in Jackson State. When you do that, you're bringing in an element of, hey, look over there, those cats.
They bought a recruit.
You know, they're doing stuff. And that's not true.
Well, I just don't think. I don't know what is true or what isn't true. I think they're all buying players, and I think they're all doing it illegally. I think there's just like in some instances, I think teams are doing it to a higher degree than others, and some teams need to do it to a higher degree. Hell, if Arkansas had the money to do it, hell, I want them to go out there and buy a big ass recruiting class with a bunch of five stars. I thoroughly enjoy that. But there's the thing with like Jackson State and Nick Singleton. Nick don't care. Like Nick looks at it as somebody bought a five star recruit and he specializes in five star recruits, and so he's gonna put them out. He's gonna put it out there. Like Nick, I don't think Nick slows down to think about, man, that's an HBCU. The Deion Sanders was this kid's idol growing up, and it's great for that school and that conference to get a recruit. Like I don't even think he slows down to think about that. He believes in one thing. I'm where five stars go, nowhere else.
Yeah, and I just think Nick's got to be smart enough to understand what the reaction of Nick Saban, him saying they bought a recruit at Jackson State, almost insinuating like look what they did to get a recruit, like Jackson State is now in some place that they can compete. I remember that was one of the things that stuck out to me when you said, yeah, man, even if he gets an NIL to Jackson State, like if he goes to visit LSU, A&M, Texas, Arkansas, and then compare the facilities, compare the diet and the doctors and the medical staff,
all the
support stuff, his dorms, and compare it to what they can offer at Jackson State. It's not even any kind of contest at all, which would lead you to believe that kid wanted to go there.
Sure. Yeah.
Like there was, and it could be as small as a reason of that kid is a cornerback. And the greatest to have ever done it in the history of the sport is the head coach there, and I want to learn from him. Or it could be I want to go there to change the way HBCUs are viewed, the way he came out. I just think Nick Saban, his little toss out there about Jackson State cut all that off from underneath, and I that was the thing that really
it minimized the possibility of that kid saying I want to change the game.
Thank you.
I want to change. Like I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, and it's in poor taste that you throw that out there. I don't think that was his intentions at all. But I agree with your point of, yeah. I mean, there's a chance that this kid just wanted to change the game and show other athletes, particularly African American athletes, 4 and 5 stars, that hey, man, you can go to these other schools if you so choose. If it's in your heart and in your mind and in your soul to go to these other schools and these HBCUs and smaller schools, and you can still go to the league and do that, and we can all come up together.
This certainly wasn't a deal of, hey, man, hey, Florida State, this is what they're offering here.
Yeah.
And Florida State, well, we can't match it.
Well, whether that's yeah, to think that Florida State couldn't match it, to think or wouldn't match it, or hell, not match it, would double it. To think that some of these other schools that are buying players wouldn't double it, I think that's crazy talk as well. So no question, the ultimate result in what Nick Saban has said, it came across in very poor taste on multiple fronts. I think he opened up a can of worms with Jimbo Fisher that is bad for the coaching industry, could be bad for his program specifically. There's no telling what Deion Sanders has come up with and what he's drummed up here over. I mean, there's no telling.
He's been waiting. He just sent out that tweet and has not said anything.
Bro, this is one of those deals where, like, if Deion takes the same approach that Jimbo Fisher took, like, what do you do if Deion Sanders knows big-time recruits that have been enticed one way or another over the last 20 years to go to Alabama, or I guess not 20. He didn't go to Alabama until what, 06, 04, 06, something like that. Yeah.
Clint,
that's the can that's open here, man.
Clint, Doug, and this isn't him, but this is Antonio Cromartie. He was talking to our guy Travis Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
They were going back and forth on Twitter, and he said, man, I was offered $60,000 just to come on a visit to help with recruiting when they were on probation. So, yeah, I know what you mean. They've been paying players for years at Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, you're opening up the can for that stuff to come
out of nowhere.
Right? Like,
come out of nowhere. I mean, it's...
And like you said, that's what you talked about with Deion. Like Jimbo may just say it. There may be somebody out there, not saying it may be Deion, but there may be somebody out there, oh, I'm going to show receipts. And you run the risk of that.
Ooh, that's the scary. Trap would be a good one to holler at. I bet Trap got offered some bread.
Yeah, I bet he did. Clint Sterner, Ron the Show, Tyler, not in today. Chris in here, coming up behind us, Texans All Access. I just, like, Jimbo really came off like he was about that thing today. Like, I mean, like, it,
ain't no doubt. This was maybe
my favorite moment of Jimbo today. Do you think Jimbo is about this thing? Here was Jimbo Fisher about potentially the next time he sees Saban.
October 8th, what do you think that's is it going to be awkward?
Be fun.
Well, awkward about what?
When you have to face it or have to...
I don't mind confrontation. Live with it my whole life. Kind of like it myself.
Why do you think he's lived with confrontation his whole life?
I don't know. Where is he from? Is he from somewhere? Is he from West Virginia? Is that where he's from? I don't know.
The fact that you know that somewhat
West
scary.
West Virginia or Louisiana, one of them. Like he, I mean, what it... Yeah, he said, I like that. I want confrontation. Like, Jim, is he from West Virginia? How the hell do I know that? Why do I know he's from West Virginia? No, he sounded today like he was about this action. I never knew Jimbo was about this like that, but he sure as hell seems like he wants all.
He seems like it. Look, I mean, that's the other part of it is man, there, this is going to spark. Because I just don't buy that any of this show is – I know you and I can look at it and the fan bases will look at it and it'll build momentum and interest in the game and in the programs and in recruiting and all that, man. But I don't believe that this in any way, shape, or form is friendly fire. I believe this is as real talk gets. And I mean, these dudes are hot at each other right now.
I mean, hot. We'll see. As you said, you think this will simmer down by the time this
season starts? They'll be shaking hands by October 8th.
I hope.
SEC Media Days? If the SEC doesn't put Alabama and A&M and SEC Media Days together the same day, if they spread them out, y'all dead ass wrong.
Jimbo said he thinks he's going to try to show up on time this year. Jimbo talking about somebody needed a slap neck. Like, Jimbo to let it go, man. Texans All Access coming up behind us. Thank you so much for sticking with us. It was a crazy day, a wild day. We appreciate you going with us. Clint, great job. Chris, great job as well. Tyler,
somehow I feel was behind all of this. I am Ron, the show Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Just one look
at you. Stretch.
No, Stretch.
What's good? Stretch, hey. Stretcher, strap him down.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.